for care.
Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Fastamai, good evening and welcome to Update here on Manx Radio. It's your daily roundup of all things Isle of Man, and once again, a lot to cover in the next hour, including Manx Care has announced more cuts. So what services are going to be affected, and ultimately, how will you be affected? We'll talk about that more in a couple of minutes. Also tonight, the Isle of Man's bishop has been consecrated at York Minster. We'll catch up with Jude to find out how that went, and details of a new body aiming to give Manx nature a stronger voice. And as ever, we'll be watching out for any traffic or travel issues. And if you've got any thoughts to share, you can text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First, let's join Christian for a roundup of today's main news headlines.
Patients on the Isle of Man are to see several more frontline services cut as Manx Care attempts to balance its books. The healthcare body says it's implementing a number of measures to save an additional £5 million and bring its overspend down to £8 million this financial year. With the planning application for the Isle of Man's first onshore wind farm due to be submitted early next year, members of the public are being invited to a series of consultation events later this month. The Cairvy wind farm would be situated at Earriestain and could provide up to a quarter of the island's annual electricity demand. The final race of Sir Mark Cavendish's glittering cycling career could take place in Singapore next month. Organisers of the Tour de France Prudential Singapore Criterium, which will be held across the 9th and 10th of November, say the meeting is set to be the last race for the sprint legend. And the swing bridge in Ramsey will be shut tomorrow between 9:30 and 11:30 in the morning. The Department of Infrastructure has confirmed the emergency closure is to allow for workers to repair a large hole in the road. In international news, the Princess of Wales has carried out her first community visit since her cancer diagnosis by joining Prince William to meet first responders and families of the Southport stabbing attacks. Three young girls were stabbed to death at a Taylor Swift-themed dance class in July. The US president told residents of Florida to stay inside, warning of downed power lines, debris and road washouts caused by Hurricane Milton. 120-mile-per-hour winds have knocked the power out to more than 3 million homes, and as many as 9 people are reportedly dead. And you won't see Oasis doing any interviews before their reunion tour kicks off next year. Liam Gallagher says he and Noel won't want to answer any intrusive questions about their relationship. Those are the Update News headlines next at 6.
Thanks very much, Christian. We haven't asked them yet, to be fair, so you never know. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Fine with lengthy spells of sunshine. I need to go and put my teeth in. But there will be a risk of a few showers this evening. Light to moderate northerly winds backing northwest later and maximum temperatures of around 11. The small risk of the odd shower to start tomorrow, but otherwise it will be dry and bright or with some sunny intervals. Moderate to fresh west or southwest winds and highest temperatures tomorrow of around 12. Sunset this evening will be at 6:31, sunrise tomorrow morning 7:40.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, 4.5 minutes past five. So patients on the Isle of Man are going to see several more frontline services cut as Manx Care attempts to balance its books. The healthcare body says it's implementing a number of measures to save an additional £5 million and bring its overspend down to £8 million this financial year. Well, Siobhan Fletcher has been across this story for us. Siobhan, then, what do we know so far?
So Beth, Manx Care has outlined 11 cuts they're making across the board, and that number includes that cut to elective surgery we already knew about and we've been talking about extensively for the last week. Alongside that, we'll also see the Ramsay Minor Injuries Unit remain closed at weekends until at least the end of the calendar year, and the withdrawal of its out-of-hours social worker in adult social work. They will not renew its Couth and Quail mental health contracts and will temporarily close its mental health recovery college for 6 months. There's going to be additional scrutiny on planned UK NHS activity. This essentially means NHS trusts over in the UK will be asked to delay electives too, or see if tests could be done here and scan and results sent to the UK for analysis, review every patient transfer case. It's important to note on this one, this will not affect children, cancer patients or neurology patients. Meanwhile, there'll be additional executive scrutiny and sign-off for all bank and agency staff spend. They'll be reviewing all additional non-clinical programme activity for medical staff. That's basically the extra things doctors do on top of their clinic time. And productivity review outcomes will also be implemented. Also, there's a pause in non-mandatory training for staff and all non-essential recruitment has now been paused.
So there's a lot to digest there. Do we know why they're implementing these changes now?
Yeah, so at the start of this financial year, Manx Care signed off on a £19 million cost improvement programme which aimed to achieve financial balance. However, the board now says £12 million would have been a more realistic goal. And even after these new interventions, they're still looking at an £8 million overspend. I sat down with the chief executive, Theresa Cope, and asked her what the root cause of that overspend is.
So in essence, we had to set a very ambitious cost improvement programme target at the start of the year. Manx Care has delivered around £10 million of cash out savings over the last 2 years. But this year, in order to have a balanced position, we needed to make £19 million worth of savings. When we risk assessed all of those savings, that reduced down to 12, which is why we had a gap. Also, during the course of the year, we have been impacted by movements in our monthly spend, so increased costs of off-island care, impact of high-cost placements, individual drug costs, all of that has put essentially a £9 million cost pressure into the organisation. So the level of savings we need to achieve to offset that has increased considerably.
This is all more patient-facing. So what is Manx Care's message to the public with this?
Manx Care's message to the public is that we have attempted to choose the schemes which would be least impactful and we will monitor them incredibly closely.
So with regards to the remaining £8 million of overspend, the board says that will remain subject to ongoing discussion between Manx Care and the Department of Health and Social Care.
So as you can imagine, there has been a lot of reaction to this story today. Let's bring you some of that political reaction now. Rob Callister, MHK, is a former health minister himself.
I'm just really worried about the whole situation about our healthcare. And you've got to be really careful about knee-jerk reactions. And I hope that the chief minister, the chief executive of Manx Care, and more importantly, the health minister, actually gets around the table and actually discusses what we need to cut back on because of funding. Actually have a conversation about the overall budget for health service, because at the end of the day, when a budget is given, the base sort of costs around staffing, you know, electricity and service, I think, should be understood by all parties. The variance is the amount of patients coming in and out of the service. So I'm hoping that all parties get around the table, because I think from a public point of view, they are deeply concerned.
Well, that's the former Health Minister, Rob Callister, MHK. He mentioned the public there, Siobhan, and that's what we've been watching really this afternoon, the public reaction to this story.
Yeah, we've had loads of comments in on this, quite a few saying appalling. A lot of people questioning the cutting of the Manx Care board or any other managers, directors instead. Basically saying they need to look at other areas of management, unnecessary projects. But then also there's a lot of comment around the underfunding by the Isle of Man government, overspending. Comment here, government needs to find the funds to comply with Sir Jonathan Michael's recommendations. And actually that's something that I talked to Theresa about, and we'll hear more on that point in breakfast tomorrow morning.
And we'll also hear an overview of the situation so far, taking into account some of the changes that we've heard about today, and a special Island Life programme coming up at 5:30.
Yeah, that was more around that first elective surgery cut that we found out about last week, which then has transpired as actually in this wider range of cuts. But that is a roundup, really, of all the different comment we've had over the past week and a bit more of the explainer of why they're having to do it, really.
Well, Siobhan, thank you very much indeed. And Siobhan did have that little piece of the interview with Chief Executive of Manx Care, Teresa Cope. You can hear that in full in the latest edition of the Manx Radio newscast at manxradio.com. We're going to stay with the issue of Manx Care and health and doctors now, because the British Medical Association is warning the worse the culture gets within the health service, the more it will have an adverse effect on patient care. Now, the trade union has been discussing results of a survey of doctors employed by Manx Care, which highlighted a lack of confidence in management, low morale and a poor culture. We were talking about this on the programme yesterday. Dr. Prakash Tyagarajan is from the BMA and has been talking to Christian Jones to say that the findings are deeply worrying.
They indicate the organization's culture, which is not healthy. Doctors, on the whole, appear to feel unhappy, disenfranchised, not being listened to.
Some doctors have raised concerns the Manx care system is structurally flawed and needs reform beyond the leadership level. Is the BMA willing to push for a systemic overhaul of Manx Care's organisational structure?
The doctors are coming to that stage, but we ought to convince the BMA to actually move that way. We've actually provided the government from the Isle of Man Medical Society with our roadmap. And we're very willing to work. Again, unlike previous reviews that cost over $1 million, I think, this was done entirely voluntarily in our spare time. And we are willing to actually even operationalize those plans. They're very high-level plans. And we are waiting with open arms.
One last question. You said last year when the survey was released that you would be, you were quoted as saying that you would be having open and transparent discussions to deliver positive change. And with the release of this survey, in some cases, it's got worse. So it's not entirely on Manx Care, is it? Do you acknowledge that?
Yes. I mean, when we say we have failed to deliver change, that's both sides of the table. Yes, you're correct.
That is Dr. Prakash Tyagarajan from the BMA. He was talking to Christian there. And you can find out, again, much more about that at manxradio.com. Some business news now. And Manx Utilities has confirmed a proposed substation for Victoria Road and Douglas is now going to be erected away from a neighbouring property. On Monday, the Smith family got a letter about works to be done on the land, which used to be Wainwright. But yesterday, they say they were shocked to learn that a substation would be built less than 5 metres away from their home and parallel to a bedroom window. Well, in response to this, the Manx Utilities have told us that they have been working with Tesco and the neighbouring property owner to solve this issue, and the substation will now be moved. Ramsay Crookall bring us a stock market report, and tonight they tell us that UK and European markets slipped as investors digested fresh US inflation data, and that came in above expectations. Wall Street stocks were in the red early today as market participants digested September's hotter than expected consumer price index. Gold prices extended gains after traders added to bets that the Federal Reserve will deliver an interest rate cut next month. That's following that latest US economic data. And oil prices rose more than 2%. And that's underpinned by a spike in fuel demand as that major storm barreled into Florida, with Middle East supply risks also in focus. We're looking at the commodities. Gold finished up 0.53% at $2,621. Brent stands up 2.08% at $78.16. At the close, the FTSE 100 was off 0.09% at 8,236. The Dow Jones was off 0.15% at 42,446. And the Nasdaq was off 0.15% at 18,264.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsay Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
Quarter to three.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsay Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, we're not aware of anything happening on the road, so hopefully you should have a smooth drive home tonight. If you do spot anything, though, when you're out and about, do let us know, 166177, or you can email us, studio@manxradio.com. And all looking good down at the steam packet and the airport as well. If you want the full list of what's happening roadworks around the Isle of Man, just go to manxradio.com and hit our traffic and travel hub.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's just gone 5:15 and it has been a momentous day in York as Patricia Hillis was consecrated as a bishop at the Minster there. Now, Bishop-designate Patricia, or Tricia as she's popularly known, took the oath alongside two others confirming her appointment to the role of Bishop of Sodor and Man. Judith Lay was there and joins us on the line now. And Jude, people were able to watch the proceedings live via the Minster's YouTube channel. That link, incidentally, is still available on our website if you'd like to go back and watch it. It looked like a spectacular occasion. What was it like for you being there?
Oh, Beth, it was absolutely wonderful. It really was. And, you know, I've been reflecting on it. And it was just the most special mix of being, obviously, there's got to be very strong official elements to it. You know, had things like the Declaration of Assent that had to be read. And that's very legal language. But at the same time, it was wonderfully joyful and somehow very relaxed. But very, very special. It was a unique mixture, and we were left in no doubt at all by the Canon Dr. Paula Gooder, who gave preached the sermon. She's the Chancellor of St. Paul's Cathedral. And she said, you know, here are these three new bishops, of which Bishop Tricia is one. We had a bishop for Selby and a bishop for Whitby as well. And she said, they're following in this huge long list of a tradition of bishops who have gone out and ministers to the people, and here's three more who are going out and going to do great things in amongst their community, because that's really where the church needs to be, out and engaging with people. And, you know, I'm reminded of the one thing that Bishop-elect, as she was then, Bishop Tricia, said to you, Beth, when you were saying to her, now, what do you want to be called? You know, Trish the Bish was a bit of a joke that was going about. And she said to you, I don't care what you call me, as long as you call me. And that was the sense that we got this great commissioning today, that it with this celebration in this wonderful place in York Minster, that Tricia wants to go out and engage with people and be active and be seen and be a friend to people.
And you mentioned community there, Jude, and some of the Manx community were there to support her as well.
Oh, we were there in force. You would have been proud of us, because when we got together, we realised just how many people there were there. And there was lots of clergy, and there were representatives of our cathedral there. But there were other people who'd just gone, they didn't have to be there. They didn't have an official role. They just wanted to be there and really to be part of the very, very start of her ministry with us. I mean, Tricia is going to be a bishop for the whole of her life now. But and that was a special ordination today. But we wanted to be there really to see her on her first stage of her ministry with us on the island, which will start very shortly.
And President of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly, was there, and you spoke to him shortly after the service. This is what he had to say.
Well, I think it's an opportunity for people to think about that age-old tradition of why we actually have a bishop in Tynwald. An event like this, which, of course, is my first experience of it, is truly magnificent. And to hear the Archbishop of York single out the Tynwald and the Isle of Man and the amount of representation here is a very, very proud moment to be here. So I'm delighted to be here and be a witness this spectacle, which is truly magnificent.
That's the President of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly, who is there with alongside the Clerk of Tynwald, Jonathan King, and also MLC Paul Crane, talking about that very important issue of the presence of a bishop in the Tynwald chamber. Did you get to speak to Bishop Tricia at all today, Jude?
I did, yes. This was not the moment for deep conversation. All of that, I hope, will come later. I just asked her how she was feeling, and she was just so happy. She just seemed to be loving every moment of it, which exactly exactly how it should be for them. But one thing I would like to say also, Beth, is that this was a very much an ecumenical occasion. This was not just a Church of England event, and it was lovely to see Monsignor John Devine walking in procession with everybody else, and of course representing the Roman Catholic Church on the island. And he was there, and there were representatives of other denominations and other faiths. The Orthodox Church was represented there, Methodism as well, a Salvation Army, lots of representation. It was an ecumenical celebration. And, you know, another sign that Bishop Tricia is there to engage, when she comes to the island, engage with all people of faith, all faiths and none. And that was, you know, something that came across also very strongly today.
Well, Jude, thank you so much for painting such a wonderful picture for us. There will be much more to come from the proceedings today, I'm sure. I know you've been extremely busy. I bet you've not even had any time for tea and cake at all today, knowing you.
We did discuss the Fat Rascals at Bessie's tea time. I never actually got there. But, you know, we can dream, can't we? And know what I will say, just a quick plug for At Your Service Sunday morning at 9:30 here on Manx Radio. I will be broadcasting, because I did talk to lots of other people who were there, and that'll all be on At Your Service on Sunday morning this weekend.
Wonderful. Jude, thank you very much indeed. And I do hope maybe, you know, there's time to get to Betty's Tea Room before it all closes. But Jude mentioned that she did talk to Bishop Tricia just after the service, and we can have a short clip now of how she was feeling.
Just full of joy, and just so many people from all parts of the church being here together to celebrate, and just to be here in this very special place ahead of moving to the island very, very shortly.
It was such a joyful morning, wasn't it?
It was really full of joy and challenge, actually. You know, what are we going to be doing together, and that charge that the Archbishop will be coming to give all of us, actually, in a couple of weeks. So really excited about that.
That is Bishop Tricia speaking shortly after that service this morning to Jude. And as Jude said, there will be much more about that and At Your Service this Sunday. You're listening to Update on Manx Radio. It's 22 minutes past five, and a new alliance of island-based organisations and ecologists aims to provide a stronger voice for Manx nature. Now, the MNA says it will collectively speak up for nature and act as an independent advocacy group. Simon Richardson, I'm obviously struggling to say advocacy there. I tried it again, Simon. It was no better. Simon, just tell us which organisations make up this alliance.
Thanks, Beth. I think you did it very well, actually. The Manx Nature Alliance's membership includes bodies such as the Manx Wildlife Trust, Manx BirdLife, the Isle of Man Fungus Group and the Manx Bat Group. Also an independent range of ecologists from various international ecological organisations.
And as I said, they do say they're going to collectively speak up for nature, act as this group that will really speak out for nature. How do we think this is going to work?
Well, I think the principle behind it is that by collectively speaking up on issues, they'll have a stronger voice. A concern of the group is that, in their words, Manx nature is at its lowest ebb, not only in the diversity of the native wildlife on the island, but also in the natural abundance of the individual species.
So if things are so critical over here, how does this sit with the island being a signatory to the Convention on Biological Diversity and things like that?
Good question, Beth, and we've been a signatory since 2012. And yes, the MNA is deeply concerned that the island won't be able to meet what is a binding international treaty by which signatories agreed to protect and effectively manage for nature 30% of land and sea by 2030.
So it would seem then that the record in the marine environment is actually better than on land then?
It certainly is, Beth. The MNA says the island has effectively protected its marine environment with 10 marine nature reserves covering 50% of our inshore waters. On land, though, it's a different story. Many key places for wildlife still have no formal protection whatsoever.
Simon Richardson, thank you very much indeed, and we'll be hearing more about that group in due course. It's 24 minutes past five. Time for some sports news now. I'm going to throw a big word like advocacy at you, Rob. I bet you'd be fine though, wouldn't you?
I thought you got that pretty well.
Thanks.
Pretty well.
Thanks.
Well, we're going to start with cycling, and the final race of Sir Mark Cavendish's glittering cycling career could take place in Singapore next month. Organisers of the Tour de France Prudential Singapore Criterium, which will be held on the 9th and 10th of November, claim the meeting is set to be the last race for the sprint legend. The 39-year-old has contested the event in the last 2 years and finished runner-up in 2023. Or should this be Cavendish's final race, it'll come just over 4 months after he made history with an unprecedented 35th stage win at the Tour de France on the 3rd of July. And separately last week, the Manx Missile received his knighthood from His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales at Windsor Castle, having been made a Knight Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire in the King's Birthday Honours List for 2024. Well, in football, FC Isle of Man had a game to forget last night as they were soundly beaten 4-0 at Cheadle Town in the NWCFL Premier Division. During a lacklustre display, the Ravens were 2-0 down at half-time, courtesy of goals from Cheadle's Connor Martin and Benjamin Hampson, before the hosts added two more through Caleb Parkinson and Daniel Burns in the second period. Well, in a scathing post-match interview with the club's media, assistant manager Alex Harrison said it was hard to remember a performance that bad, which at times was, in his words, pretty embarrassing. Well, it's now back-to-back defeats for the Manx side for the first time since late August, ahead of a home tie against Padiham this Saturday. And in darts, three Isle of Man players have been contesting the men's and women's knockout phases of the 2024 WDF World Masters in Hungary today. The group stages were held in Budapest yesterday, and of the 10 Manx competitors involved, it was Aaron Bradley and Kevin Lane who progressed in the male competition, whilst Margaret Kelly moved on onwards in the female tournament. Well, into today's finals, and it was Bradley who got the furthest, reaching the second round before a 5-2 loss to England's Matthew Edgar after beating Pavel Žukal of Czechia in the first stage. Elsewhere, Lane was narrowly beaten in the men's first round 5-4 by Jani Keskinakis of Finland, whilst Kelly bowed out in the preliminary round of the women's finals with a 5-1 loss to Croatian Marina Letica. And the competition in the Hungarian capital is running until Sunday.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. That is all from Update this evening. As ever, so much happening on and from the Isle of Man, and you can always find out much more on tonight's top stories on the Manx Radio website. And if you'd like to share your thoughts, you can follow us on social media as well. Up next, it's that special programme bringing together the full story so far about Manx Care's bid to limit its overspend this year, looking at cutting the number of elective surgeries every week and getting some of the reactions so far. That's with Siobhan in just a couple of moments. Then Chris Kinley will be here with Great Hits from 6, a little light music with Maurice Powell from 9, and then Ree will wind you down from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we will be back with you on Update from 5 p.m. tomorrow.